Good morning. Darren mentioned in his prayer going out and teach others, and that's kind of what we want to talk about today. You know, we speak often about our need to spread the gospel, to be about God's work. And what exactly is the Lord's work? Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And that, in essence, is the definition of the Lord's work. And we understand Jesus speaking there. We understand Jesus had a very special, a very distinct role in saving the lost. The one true God sent him to this world to die on the cross, to be the essential sacrifice for our sins so that we can have the hope of eternal life. But I point out to you that we and all other Christians have their work to do as well. Consider the words Jesus spoke to his 11 disciples prior to departing this world in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And we understand that Jesus was addressing the men we know as apostles. I believe many examples, and we have many examples, that we should imitate the actions and the work, both of our Savior when he was on the earth and also his apostles as they set an example for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." In 2 Thessalonians 3, 9, "Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." And there are many more scriptures that we could cite, but I believe every one in this assembly believes Jesus had us in mind when he gave those instructions. And so because we know what we need to do, we need to consider just how we might go about our task. First of all, as we've said in the past, we do not all have the same abilities in the same area. Some people can teach publicly, others have a gift for more individual encounters. And what we hope to do today is put forth four things that every one of us can do to spread the gospel. First, I want to address those of us who feel we're not as qualified as others to approach people with the gospel. Have you ever really considered who the apostles were? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, says Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, for I will make you fishers of men." Jesus saw two brothers there who were what? Scholars, teachers, great orators, prominent, influential men? No. They were fishermen. And Jesus told them he would make them fishers of men. And when we hear that phrase, fishers of men, our minds automatically think of evangelism, spreading the gospel. Jesus called those men who would become evangelists, preachers, apostles, teachers, fishers of men. Let me point out, there was nothing special about these men when they were called. Peter and John were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector, and at least one of them was active in politics. The group of men Jesus called was a representative sampling of the people of that time. Yet Jesus took their humble occupations and transformed them into something special. And there was no magic formula Jesus used to take these regular Joes off the street and make them into evangelists. Jesus just used very basic principles. And then he encouraged these men to be doers. And we can use these same principles today. We can follow Jesus and learn how to be fishers of men. First of all, by letting people see our lives. You know, Jesus lived an open lot, public life, and he was available to anyone who wanted to come see him. Relatively few times in the scriptures do we find Jesus withdrawing from people. His life was open to his friends and to his enemies. Mark 12:37 says the common people heard him gladly. And 16 times Matthew refers to the multitude that followed Jesus. Paul said to King Agrippa in Acts 26:26, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I'm convinced that none of these things escape his intention, since this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus preached that we should have an open life for all to see. In Matthew 5, verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 and 35, the people who Jesus blessed and said would inherit the kingdom were people who lived their lives serving others. So how then do we let people see our lives? We attend the services of our local church. When our neighbors see that we get into our cars every Sunday and every Wednesday and dressed in a manner that says we're not going bowling or to some other recreational activity, some weeks they see us go every night. We are showing them by example what is most important in our lives. And when we are dealing with others in business and personal matters, we do what is right and just before them. We never try to cheat or gain an unfair advantage over them. We dress our bodies in clothes that are fitting and proper for one who loves the Lord. We don't dress in tight dresses, short skirts, shorts. Don't allow our children to dress like children of the world with jeans so tight they can't comfortably set or tops so short they expose their bellies every time they raise their hands. And when we are living lives that show our love for the Lord, don't forget our children are watching us every second that we're with them. And I know it's all too easy to relax in the comfort of our homes and not demonstrate that same conscientious behavior at home that we do in public. Don't do that. Our children are the best little truth detectors on the earth. I call them hypocrite meters.
And they can spot a hypocrite a mile away. And if they see you acting one way in public and another at home, what kind of a message do you think that sends them? What they say, what they see you do at home will have the biggest effect on how they perceive the gospel message. Another thing we could do is we can be caring for our neighbors. When we know they are sick or in the hospital, we can visit them. If we know they're in need and we have the means to help them, we need to help them. If we know they're going on vacation, we can offer cut their grass, get their mail. See, they need to see something special in us. And how about someone who considers themselves our enemy? And I say that because we really shouldn't be doing anything to make people enemies if we can help it. And I know there are some people that make that near impossible. Do we try to show kindness to them? Can you imagine the impact when someone who thinks of us as an enemy coming through a hospital door to visit them? Someone once said, I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Second thing we can do, we can talk to people about the church. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, talking about the church. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, Jesus preached, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus told his disciples to preach. He said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10:7. The kingdom that he's talking about is the church. Do we talk about the church to others? We see the early disciples preaching about the church. Matthew speaks of the kingdom 50 times in his account. Mark 22 times, Luke 40 times, Philip preached the kingdom to those in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, verse 12. And Paul said to the Ephesian elders that he made it his business to preach the kingdom of God, Acts chapter 20 at verse 25. Okay, but what do you say? Well, you tell them the pattern for the church. You tell them the organization of the church. You tell them about the mission of the church. We can tell them why we attend the Lord's church. We can tell them of the love and the support we get from our brethren. We can tell them of the times for worship, the times we gather and study. These are the things that we can talk about to our friends. Another thing we can do is to invite people to come hear the gospel. Jesus extended invitations to everyone to come and hear him teach and preach. In Matthew 11, toward the end of the chapter there, verse 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We don't have to preach a full sermon to everybody, but we can invite them. John 1:46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come, see. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that hath thirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. How do we do this? Well, we have regularly scheduled services every week. Give someone a schedule. Our bulletin has the schedule of our services on it. Hand out a bulletin to someone. Ask them to come visit. Hand out a flyer for one of our our special services, such as a gospel meeting. We have a great opportunity when we have a gospel meeting. We have an opportunity to invite people to a service of the Lord's church that does not require them to get up early on a Sunday or to miss whatever denominational church they attend. They can hear the gospel preached every night of the week, any night of the week. If every one of us would just think of four people that we could benefit from hearing the gospel, commit just to mail them a flyer, you'd be doing your part. When you're visiting your neighbor or a relative who's not a member of the church, just say, "Would you come worship with me this Sunday?" Offer to set up a Bible study, and if you don't know you can handle it, if you need help, ask the elders. I'm sure they'll be willing to help you with your Bible study. You realize God requires us to make this effort. It does not require results. If we do what He requires, He will give the increase. Don't fail to try because you don't think it will do any good. Leave that part to God. And finally, one very important thing we can do is to pray. Jesus prayed. He told us to pray for more laborers. He said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. Told us to pray for our enemies, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you and persecute you. And He prayed for those who would believe on His word. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word." We find the early church praying as well. Acts 2:42 continued in prayer. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." And 2 Thessalonians, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." 1 Timothy 2:1, "Exhort yourself, therefore." I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, sessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. So then how do we pray for this help with spreading the gospel? We can ask God to open doors for us to teach the gospel. We can pray that each one of us will have the courage to tell others about the gospel, and not only for ourselves, but we can pray for all the saints here to have that courage to tell others. Do you ever do that? Do you ever pray that we will all have the courage to speak about the gospel? We can pray for the individuals that each of us meet in the community, that their hearts will be open to the gospel message. We can pray for those we know that need to obey the gospel and ask the church to pray for them as well. These are some things we can pray for, and I'm sure you can come up with others. These things, my friend, we can all do. And the things we talked about are really just seeking God's kingdom first in our lives. These are the things we can each do, every one of us can do. The question is, will we do it? You know, Jesus was able to take a ragtag bunch of fishermen, social outcasts, and change them into apostles, evangelists, teachers. Let me ask you, do you doubt that He can do the same with us today? Well, if you do, you've already lost the battle. We need to resolve in our minds to do each of these four things at least once a week. Let someone see your life by setting that good example, by letting your light shine. Talk to someone about some of the church. Invite someone to attend services or give them a bulletin or something with our schedule. Don't forget, when we have a gospel meeting, let us all commit to inviting at least four people. And We'll have an opportunity coming up in a couple weeks at the fair to man the booth and tell people about the gospel, invite people to our service. That's a blessed opportunity for us. Finally, we can say a prayer every day for the growth of the church and for someone in your life who needs Jesus.